Our second reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of the Lord.
I almost lost it when you were singing today. I was going to mention this in the sermon. It's not in my notes, obviously. As I was sitting here and you were singing, this young man in the front row, what's your name in the blue stripes? Patrick? Is that your sister you were holding in your hand? As he was holding his sister right there as they were singing the hymns, he just with love holding that little sister of his, just bent over and gave her a little kiss on the cheek. And I have to tell you, I looked over and saw the care of that brother for his little sister. And I thought, what a most beautiful picture of the church, of the love of God, of just this natural care and love. And so, buddy, I want to tell you something. Keep taking care of your sister. Would you do that? Take care of it. Because, you know, she got up when she, after you were holding her, and she stood up nice and tall and sang out really loud because she had felt your love for her. And as a result, it ministered to her. And that's why some of you are here. That's one of the reasons this church has grown and doubled in size since the last time I've been here. Because it's not just about what goes on up here, although that's important, but it's the love that goes on in the plastic seats. Can I say plastic seats? In the plastic seats. As you have the coffee over there or the water, or they got donuts? Good. I was going to leave if there weren't donuts, but the donuts as they have that. And I hope that anyone here that's new would just feel welcome here. And I know this is after Christmas. And, you know, we go to church after Christmas. You know, we do that. We go Easter, Christmas, and we go after Christmas, especially today. Do you know why we go today? Because it's very important that we pray today that the Redskins beat Dallas. And that is very important for this city, which is important for this country, which needs to change something in some way positive. But let me go on to my sermon where I don't get thrown out of here and Johnny never asked me back because he is here today. I didn't know you were going to be here. So, which, by the way, what an honor it is to see this church grow. Can I say this? And I know I get in trouble in these things, but I'm not. I worked with Johnny at the Falls Church, and I have to tell you, this is a man of God. And I knew that when he was going to come and plant this church, I said to people, I said, boy, that church is going to go. That's going to go. You know why? Because this man and his family loves God. And praise God for you and what God has done in you and through you in this church. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the years to come. And Jesus could come back tomorrow. I don't think he is coming back tomorrow. He missed the Mayan thing, and so we don't know when he will be coming back. But I will say, Wright Wall has planted a church too, All Nations, and now it's over 100, and it just started with a small group, and that's how God works. God does great things with small groups, and then as people love each other, they care for each other. We're going to be looking at Joseph. And looking at this passage in Joseph, as you know, The book of Matthew looks at the Christmas story from Joseph's point of view. Luke looks at it and spends more time on Mary's. Mark and John don't even mention Christmas. They don't like Christmas or something. They didn't think about it. But we're going to look at it in terms of Christmas. And some of you come back from Christmas holidays where you were with your family and there was some fighting going on in your family. You know, Christmas, you're thrown in a car, you're there and you're with your family all this time. And there was this little girl that was there around Christmas. And her mom said, you know, get out of the kitchen, you're in the way. And the dad said he was setting up the tree, which I tell you that some reason I think that we should be forgiven for all cuss words when we set up the tree. But, you know, setting up, and she had to move away, and everything was bad. And then it came time, and her parents said, well, why don't you say the prayer at Christmas dinner? And this was her prayer. Our Father in heaven, please forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmased against us. In the midst of all the Christmasness, let's remember the Jesus that Christmas is about. Joseph is an amazing man. He is amazing because we don't hear much of him. His life was his sermon. His life was his message. His life was his talk. His faith was a reality in what he did. And do you know that we have no quotes from Joseph at all? Now, they did quotes of different fathers, the normal quotes of fathers. And I've got some down here, some quotes of fathers. Here's his average quotes. The number one quote that they say fathers say is this, ask your mother. Then the second one is, am I made of money? Bill Cosby used to say, change. Is there any change? I gave you $20 for that pack of gum. Change. Is there any change? And then this one, I'm not talking to hear my voice. You ever heard that? You heard that quote? Or this one that may in your house, which is, I'm not sleeping. I was watching that show. Especially after that turkey. In my house, it's this. Where is the remote? Where is the remote? I don't know where it goes. And then the one on Christmas vacation that if you traveled, how many traveled for Christmas? Went away for Christmas. You probably heard this with children. Don't make me stop this car. And the threat that seems to always be made, but I don't know anyone that ever has stopped the car. Do you? They never have. But you see, the idea of Joseph is that we have no words from Joseph at all. There's not one word. We have no words. Mary talks. Everybody talks in the Gospels. But we have nothing from Joseph. Not one word from Joseph. But think what he's going through. The experience that Joseph had to go through. The work that he had to go to. In fact, it's amazing we don't hear anything from him and nothing said. You get this idea of a very strong, silent man, calloused hands. You know, some church historians will say that study in the life of Jesus say that Jesus was, when the word carpenter did not just mean wood, but it was also stone. I don't know that many of you knew that. That it was stone, that he was involved in brick and stone and cutting the rock. But you get this idea of a man that was strong. He might have been much older than Mary. We don't know. We don't really know. We do know that he's out of the picture after about 10 or 12. So it's very possible Joseph might have passed when Jesus was hitting his teenage years, that Joseph was not there. But you get the picture of this man, Joseph, and the idea of who he was in this brief story that Mark just read over there. And Mark used to be in my youth group in Maryland. And so it's fun to have him here and to see that. Now, I'd like to say it in this way, three points. We have Joseph's dilemma. Number two, we have Joseph's dream. And then three, we have Joseph's decision. As we look at Joseph, just a few verses of Joseph's, we can learn a great deal about this father who is literally the stepfather of Jesus. He was the stepfather of Jesus that was raising Jesus as a young boy, knowing that this was a special young boy, and the experience that he had. Now, take his dilemma that he was in. He's there, it says he's a righteous man. And when that was used back in that day, that meant he took the law seriously. He took the word of God seriously. He was a righteous man that followed the law. That meant he didn't work on the Sabbath. That meant he took his business dealings correctly. That meant that if he was building something, he built it right. And if it was not right, he would redo it. He took the law seriously. His yes was yes. His no was no. And you get this picture of a strong man. Now, when someone went through the marriage experience back in the day of Joseph, there were three stages. The first stage was that the contractual stage, where mom and dad made the decision and put those two together. And the contract was put together. Then it was similar to engagement, the espousal stage, which was they were literally like they were married. They were getting to know each other, but there was no physical contact. They were not sleeping together or living together at that time. But they were still considered husband and wife. And then there's the third stage, the consummation stage, which went on for a while, and they had their honeymoon, we would call it that way. But marriage was different back then. And in that engagement period, it was just as binding. It was just as binding, even more so binding, so that divorce in that time was something was drawn up with papers. So here Joseph, a righteous man, believing he's marrying a righteous woman, finds out, and we don't know how he finds out. I've sat with three teenage girls when they've had to go to their parents and tell their parents they're with child. Those are some of the most difficult days of my ministry. The discomfort, the pain, the betrayal, the shock, the hurt. And here's Joseph, a man who's a righteous man, a quiet man, and the woman that he's engaged to is with child. He had a choice to follow the law, which in Deuteronomy 22 said he could have her stoned and punished, or to follow love, the law or love. And he chose to quietly, just quietly, sign the papers and go off and protect Mary, protect her feeling, protect her from anything to make it worse. And just quietly go off and sign those papers. And he thought about it. What was the dilemma and the pain that he went through, the embarrassment? Imagine the conversations that must have gone with his parents, with Mary's parents, with the neighbors. What would be said in a small town like that, and the hurt that he would feel. And then God later, it seems that it was later than Mary's dream, God reveals to him in a dream that this is something special and that he is still to take her as his wife. That God had intervened in some way like never before in history, and he's to go on and take Mary as his wife. Do you see the idea of faith that is there? The strong faith of what that meant for him. Belief is a funny thing. We got to choose who we're going to believe. We have to choose whether we believe in Jesus. See, young people, you will be attacked now for your belief in Jesus. There will be people all the time saying that this Jesus story is a myth. That Jesus never really occurred, and if he did, he wasn't really God. You will hear many, many things in the years to come. And I speak to you as young people to be wise to look at that. When I was a teenager, there was a new idea came out called the Passover plot. and a best-selling book came out. Red cover, and I bought it, and my friends put it in my face. Oh, Jesus freak, look at this. The Passover plot. And that was the belief that Jesus really didn't die on the cross, but somehow he was drugged, and they put his body down. They held him for a while, and then they brought him back, and da-da. The explanation being even more hard to believe than what the Bible says sometimes with some of these things. But there'll always be those things of belief. Joseph had to believe God speaking through a dream. And his faith brought us Jesus. The strength of that faith that was there. You know, faith's an interesting thing. I was thinking about a time when I didn't believe someone and it cost me something. I was at Hollywood Presbyterian Church working as a youth pastor. I just started, and someone said, hey, there's a guy that wants to work with the youth. The guy wants to get together with you, and he wants to go to lunch with you. And I go, well, who is he? He says, well, his name's Louis. He's 60-some years old. And I go, 60-some years old? No, I'm looking for people in their 20s. See, I was looking for people in my 20s. I don't know, there's people in my 20s to work with. He says, well, he still wants to get together with you. And I said, okay. And so I put it off, you know, a while. And then we went out. I think we went to In-N-Out Burger, and we sat down. And they had told me this guy was a pretty amazing guy. And so we sat there, and he started to tell me how he was, he ran the Olympics with Jesse Owens, you know. And he, you know, he was fought the Japanese, shot down, held the record for being in a raft the longest of any American soldier. I was taken to a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and I'm sitting there going, I think he's crazy. I don't know that I believe any of this. Japanese shot holes in his raft. Then he wandered, and they captured him and beat him in this Japanese camp every day. Went to a Billy Graham crusade, gave his life to Christ. He wanted to work with the youth. Said, thanks a lot. I paid for the In-N-Out Burger. And I walked out of there, and I said, I don't know whether I believe this at all. Well, some of you know who I'm talking about because you read the book Unbroken. How many have read that book Unbroken? Louis Zamperini. I had the chance to have Louis Zamperini work with my youth group. You know that? Didn't believe him. Didn't believe. Hey, look. You either believe Jesus Christ or you don't. And we are trained not to believe. Folks, listen. Jesus Christ has something wonderful for you. And Joseph was a man of faith. That was his dilemma. That was his dilemma of what he had to do. Now, what was the dream? The dream was here. No, you're to take this woman and you're to go. You're to go. You're to go here. You're to go to Egypt. You're to go to Egypt. You're to stay in Egypt. You're supposed to change your route. You need to change your route because the most powerful government in the entire world is out to kill your child. Wait a minute. The Romans did not fool around, did they? They didn't fool around. Watch the History Channel. Watch the History Channel. Have you seen what the Romans could do? The Romans could do it all. When they decided they were going to make a point, they would make a point. And they decided that they were going to kill every child under the age of 2. Every child under the age of 2. And how struck we are with the death of children and what it does to us. The Roman government decided that they were going to kill these children. But Joseph, because of this dream, because of the beliefs, the fear not that he got from God, took that little baby and rescued that little baby and protected that little baby. He protected that baby because Joseph was a man of faith, a man of strong, humble faith. And this is traveling for months on rough terrain with bandits on the road, with the difficulties he had. I just can imagine what Joseph would have been like. Traveling not only with a woman that was pregnant at times, pregnant, but also with a little infant baby. And he had to protect and travel with that child throughout that on the basis of a dream. A dream. But what was his decision? His decision was to do it. That he humbled himself. He decided to take whatever would happen, whatever they would say about him, and he followed God. And as a result, Joseph fathered the baby Jesus through childhood. There was a little town outside Nazareth called Sapphirath. May not be pronouncing it exactly right. It was a thriving little city. It's believed that's where Joseph did most of his work. What he would do is he would travel over there. He'd take his little child with him, his little apprentice, and say, this is how you cut the wood. This is how you lay the stone. This is how the wood goes together. This is how you work it so it's just perfect. And that humble, strong man, this man of faith that spoke more loudly with his life than with his words, was an example to Jesus as he grew in something fully God, fully man. The child Jesus saw Joseph and saw this experience. Can we minimize that effect that Joseph has? Can we minimize what Joseph did by listening to God, by obeying God, by following God, by being courageous and strong, and taking that little child and his mother and deciding that he was going to follow God and God's direction? Well, there's so much I want to say, and I don't know how much more time I have to say it. What do you think, Johnny? Do I have about 5 more minutes? 20 minutes? Okay. And so I'll try to keep it there in this. When you think about humbleness, what we've got with Joseph is that he was more concerned with Mary's well-being than his own reputation. He was more concerned with Mary's well-being than the law. Did you hear what I'm saying? The law. He chose the law of love. And with the choice he made, he chose to care for her and not embarrass her. Not to emphasize her weaknesses, not to insist on his rights, not to insist and point out other people's weaknesses, but to love and care for Mary. You know, humbleness is a funny thing. It's one of those things when you think you have it, you've lost it. You know, one guy says this about humbleness. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Joseph had to think of himself less. He had his life planned out. He had a vocation, a carpenter. He imagined himself just doing the building and doing what he wanted to do. But then this child came into his life. And when the child came into his life, he had to leave and go to Egypt. He had to leave and go and stay away from Herod and the marauders. He had to guard and change the way he was doing. And his entire life was altered. He took his own desires for his life and put them to the side for the sake of his wife and the sake of his little boy Jesus. There's so much I'd like to say. This decision to obey, what would it have been like if Joseph had made other decisions? Well, the point I'd like to make and end with this is that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who is the Lord of Christmas and the Lord of the United States of America, the Lord of the world, the Lord of the universe. It is not Caesar who is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. That this Joseph, who said nothing, spoke volumes with his life, with his actions, with his obedience, with the way he did it. And if we could remember that and sit down and be quiet, which some of the young people are saying, I wish you'd do that right now, Jim. Sit down and be quiet. And speak loudly and clearly with the way we do things and the obedience that we're called to, it would magnify any words we would say. Those fathers that make the quotes, fathers that are saying it again and again and again, whoa, whoa. Let the life back up the actions. Young people, as you go to school, may you go to school knowing that people are watching you because you say you're Christians, and they want to know if you're any different. They want to know if it means anything. When you're on those swim teams, when you're working, wherever you're going, that your life is speaking louder and stronger than any word you could have. In my day, they used to put bumper stickers out and T-shirts. They used to have all these Jesus things. And I'll tell you, one of my friends once in college came to me and said, I don't know what that little fish means on the back of a car. That little fish that people have on their car. But every one of them I know are bad drivers. If you're going to put a fish on that car, then you ought to think about driving as Jesus would have you drive. And that's why there's no fish on my car. Folks, here's what I'm saying. May your life, may our lives be so loud with the words and compassion and grace of Jesus that when the gospel then needs to be rounded off with words, the actions have shown it so clearly. Oh, if only I could be more like Joseph. If only I could be that strong man that was silent, that strong man that would care for a child and not have to use words. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can look and see a man of faith like Joseph. And Lord Jesus, we ask that as we think about Joseph, we would think of this man that was strong and courageous, as the word says, a man almost like Joshua that would walk to victory as he protected that little baby Jesus from the danger on the road, from the danger of the government, from the danger of anything that would befall him, the danger of morality and lies. And Father God, thank you. Thank you for that example. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us life and that compassion and life that you showed, that Joseph showed Mary, would be the same grace that you would show us, that we would embrace it knowing that no matter how deep and dark our sin is, that your grace and love is deeper and further and wider, and that you desire for us to fully grasp your love and grace. And may Christmas be something that goes on throughout the year because it's about you, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Christmas, love incarnate, love divine, love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave a sign. Token, love be yours and love be mine, love to God and neighbor, love for play and gift and sign.